Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Coffee Clutch with Ron and Jill. I'm Ron.
And I'm Aunt Jill.
How you doing, Aunt Jill?
I'm great.
You're great?
I am.
Good.
When am I not?
You're always great.
I try to be.
We try to be.
Well, my rule of thumb is you're either great.
Or you're dead.
Or unbelievable.
Ooh.
Unbelievable could be interpreted either way. So if you're having a bad day, you say, I'm unbelievable. And you never hear me say unbelievable. Because usually I'm great.
Because you're usually great.
Yeah. Like freaking Superman. Or Wonder Woman.
What?
Aunt Jill needs coffee.
Well, I had a face of horror this afternoon because you, after the movie, we went to the cupboard.
Yes.
And you turned around.
I whipped around.
You whipped around.
And said, this can't be.
And I'm like, oh, no. She goes, Aunt Jill has no more coffee.
I'm out of coffee.
I almost ran out and went and go got some. Like, without you saying, I was like, oh, Aunt Jill can't not have coffee.
And Uncle Tom isn't here, so I can't send the poor guy out to get coffee.
It was a little horrifying.
But we had enough.
We have enough. We
and
have,
I
we
had
have,
some.
Had a little French coffee.
A little French coffee.
So we got this special blend that we have going on.
It is a special blend. It's the Maltese blend.
Because of the movie that we had watched today, The Maltese Falcon.
Awesome movie.
Starring Humphrey Bogart.
Mary Esther.
Sydney Greenstreet.
Peter Lorre.
Oh my God.
He was great, right?
Now, I have not seen this movie beforehand, but I have seen the majority of these actors in several other films.
Yes.
Such as Casablanca.
Casablanca.
And the first movie you ever told me to watch...
Which was?
A long, long, long time ago, Arsenic and Old Lace.
Remember Arsenic and Old Lace?
I remember.
Because you were
in the... I was Jonathan Brewster in my high school's production of Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yes, and I said, you have to watch Arsenic and Old Lace with Cary Grant and Priscilla Lane and Peter Lorre. Yeah, Raymond Massey.
But for whatever reason, I didn't realize that Peter Lorre was in... Casablanca.
Yeah, he's the one that actually gets shot and killed by the police in the beginning, who gives Rick... the letters of transport.
Oh, it was in the beginning. That's why.
Very beginning. Very beginning of the movie. Yes. And right. Sydney Greenstreet is
Sydney
in
Greenstreet,
it.
Sydney Greenstreet, Humphrey Bogart.
Right. You have a lot of crossover, which I know we've talked about before, but when I was young, I used to get confused between movies because of the studio system. So you would have actors that were under contract to certain studios, and they would often like double up on different movies. So I would be watching a movie going, but that's not what happened. You know, not realizing it's a completely different movie, but it has the same cast.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that in this film because like they have the three people. I'm assuming Casablanca was Warner Brothers.
I believe it was.
Because Maltese Falcon was Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And they're just all just sharing the same people.
They were under contract for so many years and then they would go to another studio or be re-signed by their studio. Sometimes... they would break out and become free agents. The first one to really do that fought the studio system, was Bette Davis.
Oh, really?
Ah, huge, huge court case.
Wow.
Yeah, she kind of like gave actors the freedom to control their own destinies.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that sometime when we're doing a Bette Davis movie.
Ooh, yeah.
Which
hopefully
soon.
Hopefully it'll be soon.
Because there is one.
We haven't seen one yet.
No, well, I saw one two nights ago.
Which one did you see the other night?
Well, it's playing on TV right now. All About Eve.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's on the list, I think.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be
a bumpy ride.
Night. It's a bumpy night.
Whatever.
But let me tell you, that woman, I love Bette Davis. I'll watch Bette Davis in anything, even the crappiest of movies. If Bette Davis is in it, I'm watching it.
Good.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to Maltese.
Maltese Falcon. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. It's been a long time since I sat down purposefully to watch it end to end. And I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I've really seen it in the last 20, 30 years.
Wow.
You know, so it's been a while. It was almost like seeing it again for the first time, which is so nice that we're doing this project.
Yeah.
You know, because not only do we get to spend time together, but we're seeing some pretty quality films, you know, really amazing.
Yeah. I've throughout this whole process, I've been realizing that I watch some really, really shitty movies.
You know, you have some of your campy favorites in there, like UHF.
But most of them are very campy.
Yeah, really campy. Well, you know what? There's a time. You know, there's a time in your life where, you know, you're into the campy, slapsticky almost. But, you know, and then as you mature, you know, you're kind of pulling more towards classics. And that's my hope, is that, you know, people who listen to our podcast are inspired, maybe on a rainy day and there's nothing else to do, pull up a movie, pull up an old movie.
Yeah. You know? I mean, a lot of my friends, the ones who worked at the Great Movie Ride, I mean, they were mainly the same age as I was.
Right.
They have an education in classic movies. And so when I was working there, a lot of them would like, oh, this movie, that movie, this actor. I'm like,
you had no clue.
I had no clue.
You should have called Aunt Jill.
I did. And if you had come down to come ride my movie ride.
Come ride the movie ride, Aunt Jill.
I wanted you to ride that ride. But speaking of the Great Movie Ride, this movie, the last line of the film was the last line of our show.
Which is?
The stuff dreams are made of.
This is the stuff dreams are made of.
We would sign off every show. So this, I was very excited to watch this movie just solely for that
and
reason.
You have so many facts about this movie that you know. How about I do a quick movie synopsis?
Yeah, do a quick synopsis.
A quick synopsis. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the movie is about a detective, a private detective, Sam Spade, who is played by Humphrey Bogart. He has a partner, Archer. It turns out that Humphrey Bogart's character is having an affair with Miles Archer's wife, which we find out as the movie is going on. But they have a wonderful secretary, Effie, who is played by Lee Patrick. And Effie is just she's adorable.
She's gung-ho for everything Sam Spade is doing.
Absolutely. It's,
if I could be Humphrey Bogart's secretary.
If I could be Humphrey Bogart's secretary. But like his character in this, he's like that gritty, raw, you know, smack you across the face and you'll like it kind of character, you know? And don't you dare winch or wince. But anyway, so it opens up where Mary Astor comes to Sam Spade and says, I need you to help me find my sister. My sister is missing. She's with a man last named Thursby. So Miles Archer thinks that Mary Astor is so pretty, he's like, I'm gonna be telling Thursby. I'll be the one, you know, like he wants to be like her knight in shining armor.
Right.
True to form, he's following, or supposed to follow, and the next thing you see is him being shot and killed. So Miles Archer is killed right in the beginning. Sam Spade loses his partner,
which he's not very upset about, it seems,
because right away he's like, okay, get his name off the door, you know. And the windows.
Move his desk out
and
of
get
the
his
office.
Desk out of here. So I think there might have been a little bit between them that we don't know about. And this is actually taken from a novel by Dashiell Hammett, wrote the novel.
Right.
John Huston did the screenplay. It could be that there was more backstory to that relationship that we don't know about. Did he know
that he had an affair with his wife? I mean, this movie was only an hour and a half long. And so I'm sure there's a lot more to it that we didn't see in the movie.
So anyway, so now, he gets killed. Archer gets killed. Humphrey Bogart calls his secretary, says, call Alva, let her know he's dead and keep her away from me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, keep her away from me. Okay. Yeah. That's now Ward Bond, who's a detective. Ward Bond, famous actor, plays the detective, first name of Tom in this. He shows up and he's asking at the scene, he's asking Humphrey Bogart, what was he working on? Was he following someone? Yeah, but he really doesn't give him all the information because he's a private detective. Right. And he's kind of like walking the line between maintaining his client's, you know, privilege, you know, the discretion between letting him, but also not withholding information, you know, because you can't obstruct justice, even though you're a private detective.
Right.
So now he calls the hotel and finds out she checked out of her hotel. So now he has no idea where Mary Astor is, because Mary Astor is the one that they're working for. Turns out Thursby, the guy he's supposed to be following, turns up dead a few hours later. He's shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Mary Astor is now gone. So in my head, I'm like, oh, it's got to be Mary Astor. You know, like you're thinking, you know, but she's trying to play like this fragile, you know, oh, please help me. Mm-hmm. And he's not buying it. He's
at
like,
all.
Yeah, no,
like,
I don't
cut
think
the school
so.
Girl act like.
Yes. So anyway, so next thing you know, Mr. Cairo shows up, Joel Cairo, and that's the character played by
Peter Lorre.
He shows up at Sam Spade's. Was it in his office? I think they're in his office.
Yeah, he shows up in his
office.
Yeah. Talking about the statue that he
Yeah,
wants.
And he offers Humphrey Bogart $5,000 to help him find the statue of a black bird.
Right.
He doesn't really tell him anything else about it. So
I want this bird statue.
Correct.
That's all you get.
So now Humphrey Bogart shares with Mary Astor, who at this point is still going by a fake name. He doesn't even know it's a fake name.
Right.
He doesn't like her reaction to when he said, I met Mr. Cairo. So he says, we're going to all meet together in my office. So they go to his office or his apartment. I think it was his apartment. And who's waiting outside in a car just watching was Archer's wife is sitting there.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She sees Humphrey Bogart going into his apartment
with another woman.
And she's beside herself. She's been showing up. Kiss me, darling. You know, like
trying to make out
with Humphrey Bogart. Meanwhile, her husband's still not called.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, this woman had it all over for Humphrey Bogart, which if you think about Miles Archer and you think about Humphrey Bogart, you know, Sam Spade.
Yeah.
Which one are you picking?
I mean, Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like he had like that bad guy thing. He's got the bad boy vibe.
Yeah. But I know that he's so short, though.
Exactly. So anyway, so now he gets Mary Astor and he gets Peter Lorre together.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell him about the fat man. The fat man's, he's referred to as Fat Man, comes up in the conversation. And they're like having a side conversation. And Humphrey Bogart's just kind of listening in. And then all of a sudden, Mary Astor starts beating the crap.
She's got some balls out of nowhere.
She starts beating the crap out of Peter Lorre.
Yeah.
You know.
As Humphrey Bogart's talking to the police.
Yeah. So now, knock, knock, knock. The cops show up at the door. And why do the cops show up?
Because
find out later on.
Alva calls the police because she sees Humphrey Bogart go up with another woman.
Yeah, so she makes up a lie and calls the cops.
Yeah.
And sends the cops
you
to the
crazy
apartment.
Woman.
Crazy. But you know what? If she didn't do that, they would have been dead. There would have been dead people in that apartment.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, Mary Astor and Peter Lorre were ready to kill each other.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so now... So now she tells Peter Lorre leaves with the cops. They take him under arrest because she basically beat the crap out of him. But she's saying, he attacked me.
Right.
So now the cops take Peter Lorre in for questioning. They leave Mary Astor behind. She tells him a Falcon story, which is all BS. It's all a lie. So... after Joel Cairo is released, he goes to his hotel. Meanwhile, in the lobby, there's a very skinny guy with a long coat and a hat who's been following both Humphrey Bogart and apparently Peter Lorre's character.
Right.
Right. He works for the fat man. That's Wilmer. His name is Wilmer.
Right.
And he's fat man's bodyguard. So now...
His bodyguard?
I know. God help us all. Because the kid couldn't hold on to his gun for more than 3 seconds.
You're right.
Well, you know, it's Humphrey Bogart. He can bitch slap a gun at
him. It doesn't matter. This scrawny little man?
Yeah.
Is the bodyguard for the fat man.
Yeah,
for
Mr.
Gutman.
Gutman. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So anyway, so now they got to hide Mary Astor because Humphrey Bogart... It looks like he's falling in love with her and he's developing very strong feelings for her because he said, and I'll point that out at the end when I think he really was falling in love with her because I don't want to spoil, but anyway. So now
you don't want to spoil.
I don't want to
you
spoil.
You spoiled the movie for me. Oh, I'm so mad at you. Oh, I was so mad at you, Aunt Jill. Keep going. Oh, I'll yell at you later.
Oh God. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, so he hides Mary Astor asks Effie, can you take it to your place? And she goes, yeah, I'll call my mother. I'll tell her she's a witness that will, you know, that has to stay under wraps or whatever. So they, Effie takes Mary Asta to hide out at her house. So then enter Fat Man.
Fat Man.
Gutman.
He
Yeah, how much did he weigh?
357 pounds.
He was 357 pounds, and it was all in his stomach. I mean, he was a big guy.
He was a big guy.
I mean, wide.
He you know, if he were alive, he could play, what's that character in Into the Spider-Verse, the villain. You know, the big guy, you know.
Oh, the big guy. Yeah.
What the hell is this? I should know this.
Yeah, I don't know either. He was bald. His wife and kid were killed in a car accident.
Yeah.
We're talking now Spider-Man. Into the universe. No. Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse or whatever. I saw that movie, by the way. You'd be very proud of me.
I'm very proud of you. I love that movie.
So anyway,
back to
Moses. So now Humphrey Bogart finally meets Sidney Greenstreet, Mr. Gutman, who is the leader of this whole thing. He tells him the entire Falcon legend. So apparently the Falcon was made by the Knights Templar in the 1500s to pay tribute to King Charles of Spain, because King Charles had given them the island of Malta. Okay. So, but he requested a tribute every year. So the first year they make this golden falcon encrusted with, you know, these beautiful jewels. But the ship that it was on is attacked by pirates and the statue is stolen. And then it, you know, pops up again in the 1700s and the 1800s. And it's like all over the world. Then finally someone takes it and they coat it in black enamel. And it shows it ends up in a like an antique dealer shop, and some Russian guy buys it and he has it in Istanbul in his house. Greenstreet goes to buy it from the Russian guy, who refuses to sell it to him. So Sidney Greenstreet hires two people to break in and steal it, and that's Mary Astor and Thursby. They stole the statue.
I didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't get that?
No.
Yeah. So that's how Mary Astor is even involved. That's how they get involved.
Okay.
You know, so they stole it. And then what they did was they went to Hong Kong.
Right.
They went to Hong Kong because they realized how valuable this thing is. And they're thinking they're going to somehow get more money out of Fat Man for it. Remember, like in Wild Bunch, when they delivered a part of the shipment?
Yeah.
Right. So
that's what they wanted to do.
They knew once they turned this over, that's it. They can't get any more money for it. Okay. So they now have it in Hong Kong, okay? And they're going to ship it to San Francisco. They put it on a boat with the guy, the captain. It's with the captain
who shows up.
With it, okay?
Right.
So anyway, so now he tells him the whole story of the Falcon, what it's worth, and he offers Humphrey Bogart a quarter of its value if he can turn it over to him. Because Humphrey Bogart is saying, I've got it, but he didn't have it.
He didn't have it. He doesn't know where.
He knew he was going to get it eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Well, next thing he knows, he's, you know, sitting there and he's drinking scotch and he passes out because he had been drugged.
Right.
In Sidney Greenstreet's apartment. He wakes up. He calls his office. He calls his Effie and Mary Astor is gone. She left Effie's house. So he says, meet me back at the office. So they go to the office and there's a knock on the door. They open it up. A man carrying a bundle stumbles in.
drops the bundle.
He's shot a few times
and he's dead.
And I had said the man carrying the Falcon is John Huston's father, Walter Huston.
Yes.
And you said you spoiled it for me because you didn't realize that was
I was
Falcon.
So mad when I figured it out. I figured that was the Falcon.
What
but
else
like,
could it have been? Laundry? Well,
maybe. I knew it was the Falcon, but I wanted to know. I wanted to see it for myself.
You know, I was so excited that it was Walter Huston. And I wanted you to...
Oh my God.
I just wanted you to look at him so you knew this is Walter Huston.
And meanwhile, you spoil the entire movie.
I'm so sorry. Oh, I am so sorry. Oh,
my God.
So now he's dead. They get a phone call. The phone call, the phone rings. Effie picks it up. It's Mary Astor. She says, tell him, I need him to come to this address. And all of a sudden, she starts screaming. So Bogart says, call the police. I got the call. You didn't. Don't say anything about the bundle, but they need to get this dead guy out of my office. So he goes off. He puts the bundle in a bus station locker.
Yeah.
Gets in a taxi, goes to the address, which is fictitious. There's no house there. There's nothing. He goes home. Mary Astor is waiting. He gets her up into the apartment. They walk into the apartment, and who's sitting there in the dark?
Fat man.
Peter Lorre.
And Wilmer.
Wilmer. Very good. So anyway, so now I'm trying to think. Oh, they decide. Okay, so... So they're doing like all this negotiating, right? Negotiating because they know he has the bundle. They know he's got the statue now. So he said a part of the deal besides the money is we need a fall guy for the two murders because now his partner is dead. They think it's Sam Spade because he was having an affair with the wife.
Right.
Thursby is dead. They think it's Sam Spade because he was working for a client and because he killed Archer. They think Thursby killed Archer.
Right.
Okay, so now in revenge, Spade must have killed Thursby. So now he's on the hook here for two murders. So that's why they needed a fall guy. So he suggests that they set up Wilmer because Wilmer did, in fact...
He's not even a fall guy. He's just... You're going to turn him in
for the things that he did. Did kill the captain who was carrying the bundle.
Right.
That much he knew. He knew Wilmer had shot him. So he said he's going to take the rap for all three or there's no deal. No bird. You don't get
it.
Right. So now they're all in one room together because they have to wait till the next day because he mailed himself the ticket for the locker where the bird is. So he calls Effie. The next morning he calls Effie and they're all together. And he says, go collect what's in the locker and bring it here. She brings it to them. They open it up. And I mean, like, do you see the
faces? It's dramatic.
It's very dramatic. They're cutting the bundle open. They're unwrapping this thing. And they're like sweating and, you know, like these shots on each individual character's face, you know, like, you know, the anticipation.
Gutman, like before they unwrap it fully, like he looks up like 17 years and then he rips it open. And then it's just Maltese Falcon. Like this thing that we've been hearing about all movie.
Yeah.
And it's finally there. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So they open it up and it turns out it's a fake. It's lead.
This whole hour and a half movie leads up to it's fake.
It's fake. So meanwhile, Wilmer slips out the door when they're all cutting open the bird because he knows he's going to jail. So there's nothing to stick around for. He's gone. Cairo, Peter Lorre, and Fat Man decide they're going to go back to Istanbul because the Russian must have known.
Very suddenly, though.
Yeah.
They were like, that's fake. Let's go to Istanbul.
Yeah,
like,
you know what? Well, they knew they had to blow town because the cops were all over them for the dead bodies, right? So now Sam Spade picks up the phone. He calls the police. He tells them exactly what hotel they're going to. You better get them. This is who they killed and why they killed him. He hangs up the phone. He's standing there with Mary Astor, who is actually Ms. O'Shaughnessy. At this point, we find out her real name is
Ms.
O'Shaughnessy. Yeah. So anyway, he confronts her and says, I know you killed Miles. And she was like, no, I didn't. He said, he would never have had his gun in his pocket with his jacket buttoned if it wasn't someone. And he would have followed you anywhere because he was trying to make time with her.
Right.
In the office. So all she had to do was turn on the charm and say, hey, Mr. Archer. And he would have been, you know, just standing there like a dummy. And she shot him and killed him.
Yeah.
You know, why did she kill Archer?
Oh,
do you remember? Because she wanted to blame it on Thursby.
Yeah.
Right. It had something that she wanted to kill Thursby. She was hoping that he would get into a gunfight with Thursby and kill Thursby because she's now double crossing her partner for the statue.
Right.
remember the two of them stole it.
Right.
So now she's like, you know what? If I get rid of Thursby,
then I get the whole, like, I get the whole money. Thing. Right.
Right. Yes. That's called a femme fatale.
A femme fatale?
A femme fatale. Yeah. A femme fatale, that they're like a dangerous female.
Mm.
You know, like a female fatal gangster. Female. A fatal. You got it.
I got
femme
it.
Femme fatale. Yes. This is like the first film noir movie. This is like the first one. This kind of like sets off the whole genre.
This is the
genre.
First one?
This is the first one, really.
Oh.
You know? Or I want to say it's like the first one. It might not have, but this this kind of creates the entire film noir genre.
Yeah.
You know, was this movie. It's like this little double dealing, backstabbing, you know, you don't know who to trust.
It was dark, just a giant mystery.
You know? Yeah, it's a giant mystery.
Which
you know?
I love.
I love too. But at the end, and this is why I think he really was in love with her. And I'll tell you why. Because he calls the cops and she's crying. She's like, but you love me. He goes, maybe I do and maybe I don't. You know, and the list of the reasons why I wouldn't is this. And the list of the reasons why I do is this. I can't let you go because you'll have something on me because I let you go. And I can't, I have to turn you in because, like, he had all these reasons, but he said, you know, maybe you'll get 20 years and maybe you'll get
life.
Maybe you'll get 20 years and maybe you'll get hung.
Right.
If you get out, I'll be waiting for you. He says, if you get out, I'll be waiting for you.
I didn't believe that.
I believed it.
I didn't.
I do. Do you want to know why?
Why do you believe it?
Because above all, he was an honest man. Remember they gave him $1,000 and when the police came, he turned $1,000 over. He goes, they tried to bribe me. Like there was so many instances.
Yeah, but Peter Lorre was offering him $5,000 and then it went to Fat Man and he said he was going to give me $10,000 and then it just kept going up and up and up and up.
Right.
I think he was
he's an honest guy. He's gritty. But and
he screwed Mary Esther out of $500 at the beginning of the movie.
But because he needed that for expenses and stuff, he had to do a lot of digging in this.
No, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and plus he knew she was lying to him the whole time.
Yeah.
He knew from the beginning
she was lying. Then how would you love somebody who's lying to you the whole time?
Well, she was pretty.
Is that all it takes?
Sometimes men don't follow their head.
They follow their other head.
They feel... Okay, so this is the end of the movie.
This is the movie.
Yeah, this is the last scene. The cops are
the
there.
The cops come in.
They're taking Mary Esther off to prison. He says he has $1,000 that they tried to bribe me with. Gives the $1,000 bill back. He goes, and you're going to need this. And he hands him the statue. And he said, what is this? And he says,
the stuff dreams are made of.
The stuff that dreams are made of. Yeah.
And then they take her away. Roll credits and film.
Awesome movie.
That was good.
It was great.
It was a good movie.
It was a really good movie. I want to take a quick break.
Let's take a break.
Do you mind?
I don't mind.
I'm so glad.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. The coffee is always on at Angel's. You know that. And Ron is usually here watching movies with me, except for now. Right now, I'm doing some promos because he says we need some. I don't know what that means, but that's okay. All he said was give him the information, talk into the mic, and just give him the information. So here we go. First, thank you for listening to our podcast because we really do appreciate you. Don't forget, you have to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, KMA, I don't care, whatever it is, just freaking subscribe and like and comment, especially because then we get like recommended and we move up. I don't know what any of this means, nor does it matter. Just make sure you subscribe, like, follow, do whatever you got to do. Jill said, press the button, press the freaking button already. Okay. And also make sure you email us. We do have an old fashioned email address. It is coffeeclutchpod@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. Can't wait to hear from you. Love you.
Hey,
And we're back.
You love doing that.
I do.
Is it just like refreshing for you?
No.
Just a sense of entitlement.
You know what? I have to tell you, it's not as much fun doing it right.
Doing it right. It's better when you mess it up.
Like, and we're back. People, we're back. That's fun.
Okay, but we are back.
We talked about the movie itself. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, you know, maybe some of the characters, like Humphrey Bogart. Okay, and you know, he was married to
Lauren Bacall.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I am so proud.
Ingrid Michaelson came into my head.
Who the hell is Ingrid Michaelson?
She's a female artist of today.
Ingrid Michaelson?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she look like Lauren Bacall?
No.
What the hell?
I don't know why that came into my head. I knew it was wrong because I know who Ingrid Michaelson is.
Wow, like, that's weird.
She was not alive in 1940.
Wow, that's really strange.
That was really strange.
Yeah.
Lauren Bacall
and Humphrey Bogart actually met on the set of a movie. What was the name of the movie? Well, you could look it up while I... Go ahead, tell the story.
I'll look it up.
Okay, so I was listening to our Rear Window podcast, and we had a discussion in that podcast about the difference in ages between Jimmy Stewart and Princess Grace Kelly.
Right.
Because right. Now I have to say Princess Grace Kelly. And how you thought it was a little creepy.
A little bit.
Right? But that was an on-screen romance. This was a real-life complete big difference in age. So
tell me,
give me the facts. Did you find it?
I know that they were married in 1945.
Okay, she was like early 20s.
Yeah, because she was born in like 24. She was born in 24.
Right.
She died in 2014?
Yeah, she just died.
She like, just died, yeah, like 20 minutes ago.
Not 20, it's a few years, but yeah, relatively recently. Yeah, but yes. He was how old when they got married?
He was 46.
He was 46 and she was 20?
20.
Yeah. I mean, 26 years.
That's an excessive
And I have to say, you know, like just how we were just talking about how men, you know, sometimes will do anything for a pretty face. Yeah. Humphrey Bogart, I would not say is like, you know, a pretty boy.
No.
You know, he wasn't a Tyrone Power or a Cary Grant. He had this very rough and gruff look to him, right. You know, like, but for every man, there is a woman. Right?
I guess. Now, but yeah, but Humphrey Bogart married like three people.
Well, yeah, I know, but get that out of here.
Four people.
Lauren
Bacall. This was his fourth marriage. If he didn't die.
You know what my father said to me?
What?
The third time I was getting married, we were walking and I looked at him and I said, always the bride, never the bridesmaid. But in fairness, I married one guy twice. So you really can't count it as... So we had the civil ceremony and then we had the church ceremony. Right, it was right. The same guy, but I married him twice. So I always say I was married three times, but it really wasn't. I was married twice. But my father and I always had this joke, you know, always the bride, never the bridesmaid.
I was like, I know you got married twice, but I third time.
I know.
Who is this mystery man?
Funny because Elizabeth Taylor married Richard Burton twice. They divorced. She married someone else. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, God. Elizabeth Taylor was married like eight or nine times.
That I did know.
Yeah. Mickey Rooney was married probably 9 or 10. I think he might hold a record. I don't know.
How
are we getting into this? So anyway, so Lauren Bacall walks on the set, sees Humphrey Bogart. From what I understand, I mean, it was like lightning bolts. She fell for this guy, and to me,
well, he's one of the biggest.
Yeah, but you know
movie
what?
Stars no, of the I, no, day. I don't.
There were a lot of great looking movie stars of the day that were available.
Yeah, it kind of
chemistry. It's that age can't stop it.
I mean, I guess.
But she was something, wasn't she, Lauren Bacall?
She was something else. Yeah. She was gorgeous. Yeah. We talked about Princess Grace Kelly and how she was striking.
Yeah.
Lauren Bacall was striking.
Yeah, she was
gorgeous.
Too. She was too. My favorite Lauren Bacall movie.
What is it?
How to Marry a Millionaire.
How to Marry a Millionaire.
Yeah, she starred in that with Betty Grable and Marilyn Monroe. And William Powell is in it. And oh my God, David Wayne. Marilyn Monroe. It has to be one of, hands down, the best roles she's ever played. How to Marry a Millionaire. Because she's a beautiful model, but she's blind as a bat. And she has like these black, thick cat glasses that she refuses to wear. So she'll take them off and she'll be like talking to a door, you know? Like,
wait, she was actually blind?
In the movie. In the movie. She's blind as a bat. Like, she has really bad eyesight.
Right.
So now, but
that's
funny. She refuses to wear glasses because girls who wear glasses never get passes. That's where the expression comes from. So girls who wear glasses never get passes. So she takes her glasses off whenever she thinks it's going to be a mirror.
Oh, my
God. So she gets on a plane at one point and she thinks she's going to Atlantic City, but she was in the airport, so she took a glass, so she's on a plane to Kansas City.
Oh my God.
Hysterical. It's such a good movie.
Oh, we gotta watch
that's
that.
That's a fun movie.
That's a coffee grind. I wanna watch
that's
that.
That's a good one. That's a good coffee grind. Yeah. Absolutely. How to Marry a Millionaire.
Yeah.
We'll do that one.
I'll put on the list later.
Okay.
That's Speaking of which,
yeah.
Send in your coffee grind. Send in your favorite movies.
Okay, yeah, so.
So we can put that on an episode of Coffee Grinds.
Yes. So
which
we
we're
going to
start.
Your favorite movie that's not on the list, right? It can't be on the list.
You have to do a little homework. You have to go to the list, our AFI Top 100 10th Anniversary list, and make sure that your favorite movie is not on the list.
Right.
Because I'm not doing all this work.
You what?
I'm not doing all this work. I'm not going to go through all these people's favorite movies to make sure it's not on the list.
So, but there's only 100 things to look at. 100 titles.
Yeah, but like all of the 5 movies that we're going to get.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, I know what movie isn't on there.
What?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, it's not.
Is that someone's favorite movie?
I thought that was your favorite movie.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No, I thought that might be a good drinking movie. Remember I'm talking about finding a movie that we could drink to? Because Aunt Jill, after that...
We're not going to say it.
No. Don't do it. Although every time we say it, I think someone downloads that podcast. And
because everyone keeps like, what happened to that movie? And so they want to know.
Which is good. Which is really good.
Yeah.
You know, So go on to our Facebook page. You're going to see a post because, Ronnie, you're going to go on live?
I'll go on. Yeah, we'll do.
I thought you were going to go on. You're going to go on live after this past episode
airs. After Lawrence
of Arabia.
Friday.
Yeah. So just listen to Ronnie and post your favorite
movie. You'll be there.
Am I going to be on there too?
I would hope so.
All right, Aunt Jill.
You'll put your face on.
Aunt Jill will go live. Or we'll record and then post. It depends. But you know, my makeup will be on. My hair will be done.
Yes. I think I need to go to your hair salon.
My salon?
I don't know. Somebody's salon. I just need a haircut.
You know, I am going to start bringing Uncle Tom to the salon where I work. Yeah. Because one of the stylists there is phenomenal with men's hair.
Really?
Yes.
I might have to go. I think I should.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll go to work with you one day.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Come visit. Okay. Because, you know, they started listening to the podcast at work.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Hi, ladies.
Yeah. And guys. Yeah. Yeah, because one of the guys there is like, I loved it.
Really?
Yes.
What are the names?
You want me to do a shout out?
Yeah, do a shout out.
Okay, so there's Hillary.
Hi, Hillary.
And Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Loretta.
Stefan.
Jonathan. Who am I forgetting? My sister Elaine.
Ms. Your sister Elaine?
Elaine. My sister owns, owns the salon.
I know. Yeah. I heard my sister Elaine.
Oh, my sister Elaine.
I was like, what? Okay, getting back to the movie though, relating
to
this, because that was my issue with this movie.
What was your issue?
I have never seen a movie like this, a noir, a film
noir.
Where they talk as fast as they do in this movie. Part of the reason why I didn't get some of it was they were talking just a little fast.
Okay, so we're gonna have to watch a movie where they're really talking fast.
Yeah.
And I'll put it on.
You subtitles.
Close caption it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You absolutely have to close caption it. His Girl Friday.
His Girl Friday.
With Cary Grant. Really? Sold. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are. It is so fast. And you have to rewind, actually.
Really?
Because you're like, did he just say what I think he said? Yeah. You know, like, but so good.
So good.
Oh, yeah. That's a sexy movie.
I liked this movie a lot. I wouldn't say it was, I wouldn't say this is my, out of the movies that we've already seen together, it wouldn't be my favorite, but I liked it a lot. Most of these movies, I walk away liking a lot or loving.
Yes.
I wouldn't say this is towards the top of my personal list.
Okay. It might not be your genre.
I like it though.
Well, okay. I loved it too.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot. That I think that's fair. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, would I see it again? I wouldn't purposefully sit down, but if it's on, I'm not changing the channel. I'll watch it. You know? Okay.
Because the noir genre for some reason reminds me of like a big comic book.
Like a big comic like
because
book.
Like you're going through and you're trying to figure out what's gonna happen.
Oh, like a graphic novel.
Yeah, like a graphic novel. And it like I love it. Like I told you, I don't think I said this last week, but I've just recently started getting into comic books.
Yeah, you told me.
And I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I went into the comic book store and I said, I've never read comic books before. Where should I start? I really like Spider-Man. He goes, here you go. Here's this current storyline. And he gives me 8 books to read.
Yeah.
And I finished them in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it.
You love it.
And so this kind of reminds me of like, okay, what's going to happen next? Like, I'm intrigued. I was very invested in the movie. Like, how are they going to solve this? And the ending, I didn't really know what to expect, but I wasn't expecting that. That wasn't a warm and fuzzy happy ending.
No, it wasn't.
And I like when movies do that.
What, the warm and fuzzy?
No.
Not warm and fuzzy.
No, not warm and fuzzy.
It ended in truth.
It ended in truth. I like it when movies end in truth.
It ended in truth, and it wasn't like this fabricated, okay, he runs off and they get married.
Right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know,
because
would have to compromise.
Yeah.
You know, so they was
so I like it when movies end in truth.
Yeah, whether it hurts or not.
Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes the truth can be painful.
Yes.
You know, and you could see she said she loved him. I don't know if she did, because she was manipulating men left and right.
Yeah, I don't think he fell in love with her.
I do.
I don't.
You know, we're going to...
I think he was manipulated and he may have been confused, but I think he was enough to realize that everything that this woman is saying is bullshit.
Okay, so ready? We're going to have a contest.
We're going to have a contest.
Yes, all of our viewers are going to watch Maltese Falcon.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to weigh in online. They're going to tell us whether or not he really loved her or not.
Well, you know, one of our listeners, good friend of mine, Dave Feske...
Yeah,
he
Dave
loves. Oh yeah, you knew. Dave gave you Team Jill hashtag.
Was that Dave?
That was Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Dave loves this movie.
Well, now I'm Team Dave.
Oh, we'll see.
So Dave has seen the movie.
Dave is one of the experts on everything Great Movie Ride.
Oh my God.
And so this is a huge part of the Great Movie Ride.
I want to know Dave Feske.
I want to know Dave Feske's take. I want any movie rider listening to this. I want to know your take. If you have seen this movie, and if you haven't seen this movie, watch the movie.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think.
We're going to read that in the podcast.
Absolutely.
We'll put their opinions
100%
out there into the podcast.
Yes.
All right, good. Dave, type away.
Dave, Leah,
Stephanie,
Sean,
other Sean,
the two Seans.
Hello, Sean and other Sean.
We're gonna take a very small break again.
Yeah, I need some hot coffee.
And we'll be right back.
Yes.
And we're back.
We're back.
You didn't want to do that this time.
I did not. That's why I
You moved away. You purposely moved away.
I did.
Okay. So, final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts on the movie.
John Huston's first film.
Yeah.
Made it for $300,000.
Because Warner Brothers told them, if you go over budget, you're out of the job.
Right.
In this town.
He nailed it. They didn't even have to edit a line. He had it all like...
He had it meticulously storyboarded.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where it, like, if you had read the script, seen, like, if you had read the script, you would have seen exactly what was going to be on screen.
Yeah, they say that his copy of the script, if you read it, it's like a written version of the entire movie. Yeah. You can close your eyes and see it.
Well, don't close your eyes because you need to read it.
Okay. Okay.
What else?
You saw my baby Thor.
I did see your baby Thor. Uncle Tom bought you a little baby Thor.
Yeah. Well, you know, people new to the podcast might not realize that Aunt Jill just... gets the vapors whenever she sees Chris Hemsworth.
Well, you are almost all caught up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I've been doing some movie watching.
You've been doing some off the record movie watching.
Thor Ragnarok.
Whoa. Probably one of my favorite Marvel movies.
That's an awesome movie.
It was a great movie.
And not just because it's Chris Hemsworth.
No, but that was a really good...
It was good.
Really... Well, compared to the other Thor movies. Have you seen the other Thor movies?
Yeah.
I've only seen number one. I didn't see number two.
Get out of my house.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
No, apparently Thor 2 is not great at all.
It doesn't matter if a movie is great or not. Who decides whether or not a movie is great?
I only say that because Thor 1, I was not a fan of.
No?
The way Chris Hemsworth is playing Thor now.
They lightened him up a lot.
They lightened him up a lot.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's a funny actor.
He's got good timing.
He's got great timing.
Great comedic timing.
So
you like that.
I like the lightheartedness. Okay. I like how it's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie. It's a very violent movie.
It's a very violent movie.
Yeah. Holla. She's something, ain't she?
She was great.
What's her name?
Oh.
Cate Blanchett.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a force to be reckoned with.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Great actress. Great actress.
You just saw with Uncle Tom.
Yes. Last night.
Last night.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm excited. You just saw Infinity War.
I did. I loved the way all the characters have now come together.
Loved it.
You know, you've got Star-Lord. My Chris Pratt,
yeah.
And Chris Hemsworth, mm-hmm. in the same scene, mm-hmm. talking to each other face to face. Uncle Tom looked at me. He goes, "There they are." I said, "My two Chris's." I'm like, "Yes,"
<That's>
but
awesome.
It was really good. I loved the little witty side bars going on, like you know, your rabbit when he calls Rocket, raccoon a rabbit. Gamora, I don't know if she's really dead. But she has to be.
So speaking solely only of
Infinity War,
Gamora's dead.
Yeah, Gamora is dead. I loved when Steve Rogers comes back. I love how they go to Wakanda.
Yeah. Did you see Black Panther?
I did.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Black Panther.
Yeah.
So I love how they've now brought all of the characters together.
Yeah.
And at the end... I was very confused with them crumbling. And I'm like, Thanos, you little monster. Mm-hmm. You bad boy.
Yeah.
He's not getting Angel's coffee. He's not involved.
Josh Brolin, though.
Oh, could knock on my door anytime. Josh, if you're listening.
No, because that brings up a good point. The fact that you can play a villain that everybody hates.
Yeah.
Like when the character becomes so hated.
Yeah.
That means the actor did a phenomenal job.
He did do a phenomenal job.
A phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
It's really funny because.
Dinklage as the.
Yes.
Oh my. When I saw Dinklage, I'm like. Tom, it's him. Because we watch Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And tonight is the finale.
Tonight's the finale. That's right.
Tonight is the finale. You're not a Game of
Thrones. I'm not a Game of Thrones.
God, you gotta do it. Bite the bullet.
I gotta.
But you gotta start with season one.
I gotta start in the beginning. I did start it a long, long time ago. with Mikey. Mikey was living in, I mean, he's still living in DC, and I was living in Florida, and we, excuse me, and we had just gotten HBO Go.
Okay.
And we said, like, oh, we have all these movies, all these TV shows we can watch. We can watch The Sopranos. We can watch Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
And we're like, let's watch it. And so we would dedicate time to, like, all right, press start now. And we would watch it together.
Oh, that's cool.
And we would text each other, like, little things as they were happening.
Yeah, see,
and
technology then, bringing your brothers together.
Which was really nice.
That is nice.
But then, I don't know, we just got busy.
Kind of fell off.
So, happens. I mean, I know he hasn't watched it, and I haven't watched
it. Yeah, well, Tommy watches it. My son, Tommy. Yeah, he watches it, but he usually works Sundays.
Until
like 10 o'clock at night. By the time he gets home, it's 11.
No.
So he goes into like the cone of silence.
Yeah.
Until he watches it on Monday.
That's how I am with RuPaul's Drag Race. I want to show you RuPaul's Drag Race.
You will.
Oh.
Not now.
You
will.
No. I showed Sarah Drag Race. She's in love. We showed my mom the first episode of this current season.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can't look away. I really want to, but I can't look away.
You know, there are some things that, you know, you're like, I don't know. It's so not my wow. This is really good.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Game of Thrones, I really did not expect to fall in love with the show. Right. And I will say this season has been a little disappointing.
That's what I keep seeing on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind.
Yeah,
yeah. It is spoilers. All over the place.
You can't go on social media. You
can't go on social media.
If you haven't seen what you're up to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which really says something about like the quality of the content that's being put out now.
Right.
But Marvel movies, Star Wars movies, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Any blockbuster TV show or movie.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of them.
A lot.
This wasn't the case.
No.
10 years ago.
No, absolutely not. And it wasn't until companies like Netflix,
right,
you know, came about.
Right.
And they were like, all right, we need to kind of come up with, like, Roma, the movie Roma.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Okay. All right. So I saw it.
Yeah.
Uncle Tom and I watched that one night. And I have to say, it's all subtitled because it's, you know, it's not in English. But it never debuted in the movies. It's a Netflix movie.
I think this was the first time that like a Netflix movie got nominated for like major awards.
Did you hear Steven Spielberg went to the Academy Awards and said, you know,
bullshit.
This is bull because why? Because it wasn't out in the theater.
Because it didn't.
It's still a movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about money.
Absolutely.
If you think about it,
absolutely.
Because the distributors make a lot of money. A lot of deals are made on distributorship of movies.
Absolutely.
So now to stream a movie, you're cutting out the distributors. So there's a lot of, it's kind of readjusting the market. But again, this is technology and this is what technology does. It shifts, you know, it shifts the economy and certain jobs and professions. And now, you know, I mean, it's just.
So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Is it
because now you're getting rid of the distributor.
Well, why are you paying $15 to walk into a movie theater? Because of the salaries the actors are paid, because of the distributor fees, how much it costs that theater to even get a right to show that movie, right? Because don't they have to buy the movie or rent the movie or whatever?
Something like that,
and they have it for a limited time. So now they're going to have to start rethinking actor salaries. It's going to disrupt, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, right?
No, you're absolutely right.
Which is what Spielberg is trying to argue is that, oh, well, because it wasn't out in the theaters, it shouldn't be nominated. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's still a movie.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an art form. How you choose to distribute your creation is your decision.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm all for it. I really...
I'm all for it. 100%.
I'm all for it. So
does that mean Do you think that's a reason why Netflix raised their prices?
It could be. It's the law of supply and demand.
Yeah.
If Netflix goes up to $50 a month, they're going to lose a lot of subscribers.
They're going to lose a lot of subscribers.
But they're going to find that sweet spot, you know?
I think under $20 is appropriate.
Yeah, I agree.
Because anything more than that, people aren't going to pay.
Right, because you've got people streaming HBO. Streaming Netflix.
Streaming Hulu.
I got rid of my cable company, to be honest with you.
When I lived on my own, we didn't have cable. We didn't pay for cable. Because we just have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. Yeah, we have more than enough. And with Hulu, you can watch.
Right, now I have Hulu.
You can watch anything you want, like the day after. I'm like, all right, fuck.
Actually, you can watch it live if you have.
You can watch it live,
which is what I have. I got rid of Sling.
Right, you were a slinger.
I was a slinger. So
cable is, you don't need it.
You know, cable is what, internet, and that
cable is internet.
And I'm going to tell you something.
And telephone, you don't need a telephone. You got your cell phone.
The second they slap a satellite up above the northern hemisphere here, and they just stream everything digitally, internet. Yeah. The cable company's gone.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's a free market system. It's the supply of, lower supply and demand. Yeah. I'm all for it. Technology isn't always a bad thing.
No, it's not.
But sometimes, you know.
We're finding easier ways to do things.
Yeah. We are finding easier ways
to do
things.
With technology evolving as quickly as it has.
Yeah, it's scary.
We're finding easier ways to do certain things.
Absolutely.
But like minute by minute, which is bizarre.
See, that's
my generation. My generation is the last generation to know pre-internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Mine's the last generation.
Yeah. So, and my generation was the one to know pre-cable.
Yeah.
You know, we had rotary phones. I mean, we didn't even have cell phones. And we survived.
I don't know how.
Well, and that's why I'm gonna be very selective with my survival.
I know.
So you better buy yourself a compass or something, sweetheart.
I gotta read Uncle Tom's book.
Yeah,
the John Wayne book.
The John Wayne book. Yes. Oh, speaking of John Wayne.
Yeah.
Quick correction.
Ooh.
Last week we were talking about The Wild Bunch, and I named a couple of my favorite westerns, and I said, which happened to all be John Wayne movies.
Right.
It's so funny because I didn't even really realize it.
Yeah.
But I said The Shootist, which was John Wayne's last movie with Ken Howard. Uh-huh. No, it's Ron Howard.
Oh.
Ron Howard, you know, because you're like, oh, yeah. No, it's Ken Howard.
I will believe anything you say.
No, because they say it with such authority. Yeah, don't bullshit the bullshitter. Anyway, so it's Ron Howard was in The Shootist, not Ken Howard. He played the White Knight, a basketball coach. On a TV show.
On a TV show.
In the 70s. Let us pick our next movie.
Let's pick our next movie. We've derailed this episode
far enough.
I was getting a little worried that we were going to run short on time. We are well over time.
We are over time. And Angel has a date, so.
With a hot date.
With my mom.
Yeah, I know.
We're doing our DNA reveal.
Really?
Yeah, my mom and her sister, my aunt.
Oh my God.
Sent their DNA and the results are in. So.
Oh, you have to tell us next week.
Yeah, so we get to reveal their DNA.
You have to tell us next week.
I will.
Okay, good. Siri, pick a number between 1 and 100.
The answer is 64.
64.
64.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so 64.
Uh-huh.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
What is the title of that movie?
Network.
Thank God.
Okay, that's Albert Finney.
Yeah.
I have never seen it.
Really?
Really. And it's very appropriate to today and what is going
absolutely.
On. So next week might be a very interesting podcast.
That's going to be a very...
Oh my God. I've been dying to see this movie.
Me too.
I love Albert Finney.
Yeah?
And Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, isn't it? And William Holden.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Isn't it William Holden? I think it's William Holden.
I don't know. We'll,
you know, we'll, I should look stuff up before I open my mouth.
And Jill.
Ronald.
I love you.
Love you more.
We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Coffee Clutch with Ron and Jill was recorded live in front of Uncle Tom in Aunt Jill's kitchen. Remember, there's always coffee on at Aunt Jill's. Starring Ron Gross and Jill Gross. Edited by Tom DeMichael. Logo by Seth Glicksman. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Coffee Clutch Pod. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The stuff dreams are made of.
This is the stuff dreams are made of.